The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Impromptu episode of the Schmozone podcast, Helen Esports, Jamal Hill, the number 10 UFC light heavyweight, and Sucker Punch, Brian Butler.
Thanks for having us.
I appreciate you having us, bro.
Man, you just weighed in, and then you come right from the Apex right to the Schmozone studios, man. You got a lot to get off your chest, huh?
I just want to talk about some things, you know, just some things we want to talk about. I've been watching, but I've been also weighing in, handling my own business and out of my business out of the way. You know, I got some time now. Let's talk.
100%. You're coming off back-to-back performance of the night bonuses, and this is your second fight in a row where you're headlining a fight night. That's big time.
Yeah, man. It's been great, man. It's been a dream come true. You know, this is what I've been waiting for, you know, and responding in this way, like getting knockouts, getting finishes. Like tomorrow, I can't even explain. My bad. But yeah, like tomorrow, I can't explain the feeling that I get whenever I'm like thinking about this fight and feeling this matchup.
How do you top off that knockout against Johnny Walker? Because that's on everybody's highlight reel, man. The chicken dance, everything, like that is hard to beat.
Yeah. But I like the challenge. I like the challenge. So we're gonna see if we can do it even better tomorrow. And that's what I expect to do. I go in expecting these things.
Ideally for you, though, how do you visualize tomorrow playing out?
Ideally for me, like, just, I don't like to think like a certain way of it playing out. More so for me is just like understanding. Just as long as I'm comfortable and I'm understanding what's happening in front of me, just let it all happen. Understanding this is going to happen in front of me. I'm going to know what to do. I'm going to see these things coming, and I have all the tools to deal with them. So it's more so about just trusting that process.
One thing I know you probably want to get off your chest, this debate that was going on this week for the most successful fighter coming off Dana White's Contender Series. The fights on Tuesday night were amazing. A lot of contracts given out the week before, kind of subpar, but you and Sugar Sean O'Malley going back and forth for the most successful Dana White Contender Series alum.
Yeah. It kind of started with me on Twitter. You know, I made the claim that I was the most successful Contender Series alum, which I feel like looking as far as like fight resume and things that I've done, I felt that was just 100% true. But fans started chiming in. They chimed in and they tagged O'Malley, and he responded. Then I responded, and then I think I just seen a video that, you know what I mean, he responded again, which the things that he said in it are just they're kind of funny. You know, don't get me wrong, I like Sean. You know, whenever Sean fights, I watch. You know, but facts is facts. You know what I mean? What did he say?
I think he defined success about his popularity and bank account. I think he might have said those two things. He didn't kind of define the success from the sport, from the performances in the sport, but he defined it kind of with the things that happen outside the octagon.
Right. He was saying fame. Yeah, like, oh, who makes more money? Who's more famous? Like, popularity, like, I didn't know this was a popularity contest. When I was speaking, when I made that post, when I said success, I was talking about what I've done in the job that we're both in, you know? So whenever he sits back and he actually thinks about that now, yeah, he has to go to money, and he has to go to popularity, which we can break all of that down, because the reason why Sean O'Malley is actually really popular like that, you know, he got a leg up from the start. You know, he had Snoop Dogg as commentating his first fight on Contender Series. You had Dana, who believed in you, you know, and he wanted to give you that push. So he had a lot of things working in his favor. Like me, I gotta work for it. I gotta work for everything. I've been working hard, you know. I've been getting everything that I got out of the mud. You know, I came in immediately within my first year and I was already fighting ranked guys. So I've had to earn mine against the top half of the division. You know, he hasn't done that. But somehow, because a lot of people know who he is, and a lot of them aren't even fight fans, he feels that's his beating chest. That's his leg to stand on. But the conversation was, what are you doing in the cage?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it depends on how you want to define it, right? You know, right. Like recession.
Right.
And changing then, the definition of things. But I mean, wrong. Everybody, if he's looking at it in his way, he's successful. If you're looking at it your way, you're successful.
100%. I'm not saying he isn't successful. Sean is 100% successful.
You're both successful.
Yeah. He's been doing his thing. I think he even mentioned something about him fighting Peter Yan, which is weird because you haven't had it beaten anybody ranked, but you're getting the number one contender fight. That's a strange thing. That's not really. It's a weird flex to me. But yeah, bro. Like I said, when he fights, I watch him fight. You know, I like to see him fight. You know, even though he says he don't watch me fight, probably could have learned something, but it's cool.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of parallels just from, like, you both have one loss. I'm not even counting the no contest because you knocked the guy out and then the whole marijuana thing, which right. is such bullshit to begin it with itself. That doesn't even count. But you both have a loss, like his to Chito Vera, the one ranked guy that he really fought to date, and then you having the injury against Paul Craig. I remember we were cage side for that too. So the similarities there. But I think in terms of strength of schedule and opponents, you have that. The performance bonuses, you guys both have bonuses, but where you have fought, now this is your second time headlining a fight. I think he's just opened up main event fights. He hasn't been a co-main event yet to date, but it's interesting because, yeah, he's getting like a top contender in Peter Yan. He's got a real chance at stepping up. But just like if you take care of Thiago Santos, the number 6 ranked guy right there, you are right there in title contention with a victory. So you both have an immense opportunity right in front of you.
I feel like I've done more inside the cage. I ain't never hating on nobody getting no money. Young bro, little bro, get your money, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want everybody to get paid. But, I mean, this isn't something that's like, oh, it's taking the heart. It's just like a little competitive
100%.
Conversation. You know, and just like a little conversation back and forth. You know, if anybody taking it serious like that, then probably need to find something else to do with your
100%.
Life, you know. But yeah, it's just a fun topic that we've been having fun with each other
playing basketball.
I was gonna say, yeah, let's bring him into the basketball tournament.
Yeah, man, I love to have Sean come in and come hoop because I know I got some work for you in that.
And I saw with my own two eyes you were MVP, right, of the whole basketball game because Schmo played too.
I would say you're the best one on the court, though. Of everyone that was on the court, we're talking the Bilal Muhammad's, DC, everybody who played Brunson. You were the best basketball player.
Yeah, but I hoop a little bit, man. That's been part of my story and things like that. Yeah, I grew up playing basketball, so it's definitely one of my passions.
Bring some managers in on that.
Brian, we make this a whole thing. Cool. Look, we turn it trendsetter. I've been trendsetting since I got here too. You know?
We have to. It can't just be every international like fight week. It's got to be a one a month. It doesn't have to be 5-on-5. We could do 3-on-3. Yeah, put a little cash behind it around each pay per view event. I think we should start something right there.
Yeah, I'm with it. I like it.
And have the weak link on the 3-on-3 team, the manager of one of the fighters.
Yeah.
So that way, you know.
Build a dynamic of rules of how you have to build your team. You can't just show up with
I'll probably DC. Beat all the managers in basketball.
Okay, let's see. Brian, but there it is. Let's represent it right there.
I'll film it.
I think that we should do that because Corey Sanhagen, he talked about wanting to play basketball. It was like a day after we had our competition that night. You know, he found out, we should do that. I know Sean O'Malley plays too. So
it's been a shit ton of interest. It's been a shit ton of interest. A lot of people are like, oh, man, if I know about this, I'd play. Like, yeah, bro, I'm with it. I like interacting with other fighters, other guys that are at this stage and stuff. Like, just because we fight each other and things like that, we don't have to hate each other. We make money together. Like, dude, like Santos, like people look at it like, oh, you got this. I don't have nothing against Santos. You know, I've watched Santos. I was a fan. But we making money together. We getting money together, bro. You know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, that's what it's about to me.
Santos is the only guy to have a victory on a judge's scorecard over John Jones. Like, he's been in wars. He's fought the who's who. He's fought everybody. What version of Thiago Santos are you expecting tomorrow night?
In order for me to be this fighter and be on the level that I say, I have to prepare for him to be the best version he's ever been. Better than the guy that fought John Jones. Better than the guy that finished Jan Blachowicz. Better than all of that. I have to, mentally, that's what I have to do. Obviously, you pay attention to the tendons. You pay attention to certain things off of game film. But it doesn't change the fact that you have to prepare for him to be the absolute best. Because if he shows up shorter than that, great. But if you prepare for him at a certain level, when he shows up above that, then what?
Yeah.
That's a good mindset to have. And I saw recently, didn't you post where, like a photo of you guys? Yeah, where it was like when your idols become your rivals, yeah, right? And all this happened, like your Dana White Contender Series fight was July 2019. So all this happened within basically 3 years. So just kind of what's that journey been like? Because it's been pretty fast.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's amazing. It's one of those things that I get so busy, like trying to make sure I'm doing things, make sure I'm doing all the right things. Sometimes whenever I do notice and take time back and think back, like in the press conference with the USC, you know, it kind of got to me a little bit because, you know, yeah, I did have to overcome a lot. I did have to work through a lot. You know, things haven't always gone my way or the way that I would like to be or whatever, regardless of how I felt or that it should go or whatever. You know, I just deal with it how it comes. So, just that journey, just the journey from a contender series to now is just incredible. And, yeah, that picture was actually – we were leaving. This was after I got signed. So I already had it in my mind that a collision course could be possible. But, you know, you see the guy that just fought John Jones and the only one to ever win on a scorecard, you take a picture with him. You know, I'm still a fan. Whenever I'm not fighting, I'm watching. You know, that's why I don't get things like when Sean O'Malley's like, oh, I should have done research on him. I should have known his. Bro, how do you not know who the top 10 in every, like, are you not a fan? Like, you know what I'm saying? Or even, you don't even have to be a fan. But how do you learn, bro? What do you learn? Because I learn stuff watching other fights. I'm a student of the game.
Yeah, there's some fighters that just don't pay attention to anything, which I always find bizarre. I mean, whatever works for each fighter, to each their own. But I love asking this question to guys I get blessed to talk to right after they do a face-off. But a couple hours ago, you just stared at the man face-to-face, looked in his eyes. Like, what did you see when you looked in his eyes?
Honestly, when I looked into his eyes, I seen that he was willing. He's willing to bang, and he's willing to fight. He's willing to come forward, but I ain't see that same type of dog. You know what I'm saying? I ain't see that same type of dog that I know beats in my chest. You know, and it was a little different. It was a little different in that. And he may have it like that, but I'm willing to bet he ain't got that. He don't have that like I do. I'm a lion, for real.
And if you do get that result you're looking for or knockout win over him, how confident are you that basically the title shot, like you're just on the doorstep of that?
I feel very confident. Just if you take a look at the division and take a look at where everybody is in the division and the performances that they've had of late and things like that, go in and finish him. I think I make a strong case for having the strongest last few performances of anybody. You know, we've seen Jan get beat up on, and then Rackage got injured. We've seen Rackage low us to death. We've seen Uncle Live has done his thing. I believe Uncle Live has put himself up there to where
9-fight win streak.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? That's incredible. You know, and then not only that, don't get me wrong. To a degree, there's certain things that I see that I would seriously take advantage of on him. But he is good. He's good, he's solid, and he wins. Like, he wins.
A lot of people, if they were to ever critique you, they're like, well, Jamal, he's got heavy hands and stuff, sweet dreams, but what about his wrestling? Like, if you fought Ankalaev, how confident are you would stop those takedowns?
I'm good. I'm confident. Like, see, and that's another thing. Like, people talk about, like, my takedown defense. Since my UFC debut, who's taking me down? Paul Craig, people call Paul Craig as a takedown. I willingly went to the ground with him. He didn't pull me down. I could have easily, my forearm, if people always talk about, oh, you know so much about grappling and things like that, then watch what's actually happening. Because you would see I didn't get pulled down. My forearm was across his jaw. I could have just pushed him to the ground.
Yeah.
I was being arrogant, and I paid for it.
Yeah, that guy loves to fight off his back. He loves fighting off his back, Paul Craig.
Fucking bear Jew.
The bear Jew. But so if you look at the division, though, I'm assuming they're going to do the rematch between Yuri and Glover for the title. Do you think they wouldn't? I mean, the only other option would be slot in Jan Blachowicz and he fights Yuri. You don't think that will happen?
I don't.
So then Blachowicz fights either you or Ankalaev?
I don't think Ankalaev takes that fight because I think Ankalaev probably feels like he deserves a title shot. Mm. Which, can you argue? Nine straight wins? Who else has that streak in that top title contention?
In a different division. That's why, like, Islam Makhachev is fighting Charles Oliveira for Leon Edwards. He's fighting Salt Lake City against Usman.
Josh Emmett. That's why Josh Emmett's pushing for, you know what I mean, pushing for it at 145. Like, you got all these guys.
I think it's crazy that Yair Rodriguez wouldn't fight Josh Emmett for an interim title. He would just wait no matter what, just wait for Volkanovski to recover to fight for the belt.
That's understanding the danger of taking that fight. That's a business decision. I understand a business move when I see a business move.
But there's gold on the line, right? There is gold. Pay-per-view points, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, shit. Yeah, you got a point, Shmo. You got a point. But I'm not in his mind. I don't know.
Let me throw something else at you, too, because a lot of conversation, too, is if Usman beats Leon Edwards, he's not going to fight at 185 against Izzy, his buddy. He's not going to fight Chimaev. If Chimaev beats Nate Diaz, he would go up and challenge for 205. What do you make of Usman fighting for the 205-pound strap?
If that's what they want to do, I mean, you know, like that's interesting. It's crazy. Watch, I don't see it. Just for like, and it's not. This ain't no knock on Usman because he's the pound for pound best ranked fighter in at this moment. What he's done is speaks for itself. What is he like? He's what, 12 straight wins?
I think if he wins, he ties Anderson Silva's record of 16 straight victories.
You see what I'm saying? Like that's crazy, but that's in your lane. Like now you talking about leaving out of like a like a BMW, you leaving like the BMW lane, and you trying to jump over into the SUV lane. Like, it's a little different, bro.
It's not one way class, it's two way classes. Yeah. And we saw when Izzy went up to light heavyweight, and
one of them is the biggest, and one of them is the biggest jumps in between weight classes.
Yeah, yeah, because already, as you mentioned, middleweight, you're not going up 10 pounds, you're going up 20 pounds from middleweight to light heavyweight. So now you're talking. And 170 to 185, so that's 15 plus 20. That's 35 pounds.
Yeah.
That's a lot of weight.
Yeah.
And what do you
think? He's a big man.
I don't even know if he walks around at 200 pounds. I doubt he even walks around at 200 pounds.
I will say this. The first time I seen Kamaru Usman, I thought he might have fought at like 200. He was big.
Dude. Oh, so, okay.
He was big. I was in the PI, and he's just like, bro, he's just shredded. Like, the discipline that dude must have, like, as far as dieting, it must be insane. Like, and especially, like, all the time, because this dude is shredded.
Yeah.
Always. Like, always. And how old is he? How old is Usman?
He's in his mid-30s.
Like, yeah, I was about to say, he's older than I am, isn't he?
Yeah.
Chill out, bro.
A couple years older, bro.
That's you the reason why they talking about me like this out here. You have my cupcakes, man.
And that's why you posted the reel at the pool.
Yeah, had to show them the real American bod. All right, that's the true American body. All right, most of these guys out here talking, they're not gonna strap on a Speedo, and they're not gonna stare. They're not gonna put themselves out there.
Actually, it's funny you bring that out. Walking out of this podcast room, that internet photo of Henry Cejudo walking out of Speedo, he's walking out of this studio in that Speedo. I think you look a little bit better in the Speedo than Cejudo does. I'll give that to you.
Thank you.
Patriotic Speedo as well. Yeah. Got to represent.
America's ass.
Yeah. I can only imagine what that's going to look like 6 days from now, you know, fresh off that victory and riding high on life.
It already extra looks inches. Different. Since weigh-ins.
What's your go-to meal post-weigh-in?
What has been recently for me is like the UFC, they make this pasta. They got this really good pasta that I like. So I usually get that like right after the weigh-in. But like as far as like going out with the team and stuff, we usually go out. We get like, we either get like steak, Mexican.
Do they offer Dana's Fuck It Friday on the menu for you guys to eat after you weigh in, especially you being at light heavyweight?
No, I actually tried to get on Fuck It Friday this week. I hit the boss up in there. I got the message. I hit the boss up. Hey, yo, man, let me get on Fuck It Friday with you. Let me try some. Let's Sweet Dreams try out some sweets.
And what'd he say?
That they'd already taken it.
Yeah, they'd already.
You got to be the first one to do it. You start the trend. Yeah. Every fighter's going to line up to do that.
I'm trying to tell you.
Now that he's set it on here, I think it'd be.
Yeah.
Let's go. Hey, DW, what's up, man? Let's share a snack, have some conversation. We're going to make a lot of money together, you know? Let's get it.
Wow. Brian, while we have you on here too, wanted to get an update with the champ, Carla Esparza. Is she fighting Marina next? Is she fighting Wei Li next? What do you think's next for the champ?
It's probably going to be Wei Li, you know? That's the one that makes sense. That's the one that she wants, and I'm sure that's the one that the UFC wants. So we'll see. We should have some news soon.
You think it would be before the end of the year or beginning of next year?
I would say it'll be before the end of the year.
Well, there's a couple of pay-per-view cards without some main and co-main events. It could make sense. I know they got Madison Square Garden. I know they got here back in Vegas in December, so something like that could happen. That Abu Dhabi card is absolutely stacked. Mm-hmm. They really loaded that one up.
Yeah. Abu Dhabi cards are usually good. Usually good.
Yeah, this MSG one is going to be pretty special, too. I think that's where...
The Glover and Yuri?
That's where Glover and Yuri could happen.
I was about to say, they made that fight already?
No, that's what we speculate. You know, I mean, we could sit here and just, you know, tie strings as much as we can.
I think the paperwork has been sent. I think the paperwork has been sent.
That makes sense, too, because Glover's in Connecticut. Connecticut and New York are right next to each other. It's a huge fight card. I think they're going to end up doing Poirier-Chandler at MSG, too.
That's going to be a good one, too.
I think the only thing holding that up is if they're going to make that five rounds or three rounds. Yeah. But everything else seems...
If y'all need five rounds, you can slide Sweet Dreams in there. You know, I don't mind. I don't mind taking over, saving the show.
You have experience with those five round fights.
Yeah, man, but I'll take it, man. I'm gonna keep building up that experience. That's championship experience, you know. And I look at myself as a champion, like even as now, just without the... obviously I'm not the champion, and I haven't gotten there yet. But that's how I prepare, and that's the mindset I carry.
What, speaking of champions, what'd you make of... I think he was teasing this. I don't think this is real, but our guy DC teasing a comeback to light heavyweight. Because he technically never lost the light heavyweight strap. He wants to come back there for the belt.
I ain't see that. I ain't see nothing about that.
I don't think that was real. I don't think that was real.
That's real, man. DC look happy, man. He don't look like he ready to get out there and be out here killing himself, out here trying to tussle around with these young punks.
He's very competitive in basketball. I think the schmo in him...
He called that a travel. I went back to look at it. It was awkward, but that wasn't a travel.
It wasn't a travel. I was watching it. I remember. I was like, yeah. He was trying to pull a little rank on you because he had just got signed into the Hall of Fame the night before. So he was feeling himself a little bit. Didn't he even try to tell you where to shoot from for a ball?
He did.
Like, yeah, well, man. He's like, oh, you got to shoot back. You got to step back. I'm like, hey, you leave the schmo alone. You let the schmo do his thing.
But I missed it. It hit the rim. But then DC had to do that a few plays later, and he had to shoot from the same spot. He missed it as well, too.
As well.
So poetic justice.
I think he airballed.
Yeah, he probably did.
Probably did.
I still don't understand why you doubled the money up. You ran it back for that second game. Why?
I wanted to take more. The only thing that was good would have been better about taking DC's money is taking more of DC's money. But he bought some help. He had some help. I still went off that game. I scored like 9 points that game.
Yeah, you were a best player.
Yeah. Yeah, I was still getting off on them boys. I was tired. I got a little windy.
That's right. Windy. I mean, I think for me, I set the tone because I opened up the game with the steal. For our team, turnover on their end.
Yeah.
And then we scored the bucket and we got the first points.
Hey, I don't overlook the Schmo's defense.
That was my best part of the game.
I see out there working, baby.
My shot wasn't falling, so the defense had to make up for it.
Rebounds? Those count. Hey, what are rebounds? The rebounds are possessions.
That's right.
Those are opportunities.
I got those Tony Kukoc long arms.
Damn right.
I mean, he's got to play a role on those championship Bulls teams, right?
Yeah. Hey, that one guy you were checking, the guy that you were checking, I don't think he scored.
Yeah.
He didn't score at all. So, hey, you did your job.
Well, you know, I just wanted to play, hold my own. If the shot's not going to fall, you got to make up. There's two ends of the basketball court, right? Yeah. Offense and defense, just like in fighting. In football, you play offense or you play defense. You don't play both sides. In fighting, sometimes you have to play both.
You got to be really good to play both sides.
That's ball. Right. I'm trying to think of who in the NFL plays both sides.
Damn, no. Oh, Devin Hester did.
Devin Hester did, but Devin he Hester didn't did. Last long at wide receiver.
He didn't last long at corner either.
Who's the kid? Peppers. Peppers
Jabril
from
Peppers.
Jabril Peppers. Yeah. But is he's phenomenal. Is he still playing now?
He plays for the. On the Browns last
he was on the Browns.
He was on the Browns.
But he might have been out for a little bit, but Michigan, he was fantastic.
Yeah,
you're a Michigan guy, yeah. So you know
I,
that.
Yeah, yeah, I watched him. I watched him. He was phenomenal, dude. He kick returns, punt returns, put him in the backfield, locking people up, strips, interceptions. Like, he was a playmaker. He was. Shout out Jabril Peppers, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah, shout out Jabril.
Shout out Jabril Peppers. I guess we can wrap up on some basketball talk, right? Some NBA stuff right here. Vegas might get a team one day. One day?
It makes sense. It makes sense for them to have a team here in Vegas. You know, it's like one of the biggest, like, destinations for anybody to come. Like, shit, I've been in Vegas. I don't know how many times since I got signed. I love it here.
It's great. LeBron might be involved with that. Do you think LeBron James gets another ring before he retires?
See, the thing about that right now, to say that right now, well, because it's LeBron, I would say yeah.
Benefit of the doubt.
You know what I mean? I give him the benefit of the doubt because he's LeBron.
Yeah.
You know? But just the situation is strange, bro. And then not only that, with me doing the things I do, I used to keep up with basketball heavy. I maybe not as much anymore. Yeah, you know? And then, like a lot of these new guys, like a lot of these new young dudes, like I don't know. I don't really know them like that. And then out of nowhere, they'll just pop up and they'll just drop like 30, 40 points and then just disappear.
It's crazy because it reminds me of like how baseball used to be so fucking popular.
Yeah.
It's not as much anymore. But like basketball, I feel like they're falling in the same cycle. Like guys are showing up in their mid to late 20s after experiencing the G League, going overseas because they go to college for a year. They don't develop anything in the defensive end. Not that they play much defense in today's NBA in comparison to the NBA that we grew up watching.
Right.
But like they show up in their mid to late 20s and they've already been seasoned vets playing overseas and they come on the scene and you have no idea who they are.
I think a lot of it has to do with like the personality and them marketing themselves as well.
Mm.
You know, like For like a lot of these dudes, they seem like they just like just too cool to express themselves for who they are. You know what I mean? Instead of just putting up the image of what they feel like people would think would be cool or what people would feel like even the whole thing with the Speedo. Personally, I never wear a Speedo. I would have never worn. But it's just like people are like just the reaction of some of the people after it, it's just a piece of clothing.
Exactly, and you don't
give
a fuck.
They be like, right, you know what I mean? I had fun just the fact that people were bothered by it. It's funny people's reaction to it. You know, I just like to have fun with things. I feel like people should do that a lot more, bro.
Well, I think those guys, especially like if you talk about NFL and NBA, those guys have been coddled since they were like young kids. AAU system for basketball too, and Pop Warner like fed sneakers, money on the table, like told you're the shit your entire freaking life, and then some pan out, some don't. But I feel like they're under scrutiny for basketball players than football, probably more than basketball than football too, just by sheer numbers of it too, because there's less basketball players that make it than football.
I'm talking about as far as the coddling, bro, because I play football, bro. Unless you were like Ezekiel Elliott or like type level Todd Gurley or fucking Patrick Mahomes or something like that, bro. You got rolled pretty hard.
I'll bring this example up because back before I was the schmo and I would cover like high school Nike Elite 11 football camps, there's a kid here in Vegas, Bishop Gorman, Tate Martell. He was like the number one rated quarterback in the entire high school system. Offers everywhere. Ended up going to Ohio State, transferred to Miami, never panned out or everything. And I think even he's quit recently, but even transferred back to UNLV. This guy was coddled from a young age, never panned out. Never make it to the NFL. Like, at least Johnny Manziel made it for a couple years before he got out. Yeah. But, like, this guy never made it, but he was coddled in that system. Like, I just think that's a detriment. Like, as opposed to fighters, for you guys, you have to scratch and claw and get everything you work for every step of the way.
And you can't, bro. It's like the margin for error is so small. Yeah. Like you could come out and you can win dominantly, give people the best, most spectacular performances that they've seen, like 3-4 fights, and come out one fight and look bad and get beat. This, oh my God, he's washed.
Dude, he's, even you can win. Look at what they're saying about Israel Adesanya in his last performance against Cannonier.
Now, don't get me wrong. As a spectator, I was there in the crowd. You know what I mean? Was I fully entertained by the fight? No, I wasn't entertained by like that. Not as far as the action goes, but what was entertaining, what you can take from is the fact that at this level, he can control that fight and make it like that.
Yeah.
There was nothing Jared Cannonier could do.
Right.
Like, he just used a jab in the front leg, in the front, and just chopped his front leg. And it, simple weapons, left one of the best fighters in the world froze. That's incredible.
Definitely.
Even if it's not something, you know what I'm saying, great to watch. If you could just go out and just beat people, just like all right, fuck it, it may not look good, but I still beat you, I still won. That's just crazy, bro. Some people just know how to win, bro.
Yeah, that's an important factor too.
That's what it is. That's the most important factor.
100%.
If you're not first, you're last.
Yeah,
Ricky Bobby.
There's no second place checks, right?
Yeah.
There's no second place checks.
Well, there is, but it's like half of the first.
Exactly.
It's like half of the first place check.
For sure. For sure. Well, damn. Did we miss anything? You want to get anything out? We appreciate you coming on.
Nah, man. I think it was a good talk, bro. It's a good talk. It's always a good talk talking to you guys.
Yeah, we're fired up.
Yeah, man. I'm just ready, man. I'm ready for tomorrow. I'm ready to just, man. I can't explain it. I just can't explain it. The feeling and just like where I'm at right now. I'm just ready to get in there and show it.
Justify. Which already is the most, your position's most successful fighter coming off the Dana White Contender Series.
Damn right. And that's another thing on that situation. As far as the money goes, I'd be willing to compare our first six checks from the UFC. Let's see that.
I'll let you guys handle that.
What's up, Sean? Let's check it out. Let's see.
Yeah, both you guys are. I think both you guys are stars in this organization.
100%, bro. Dude's a stud, bro. Regardless of anything, like, bro, dude is a stud, bro. He's entertaining to watch. Regardless of what he says, following behind this or anything, I'm still gonna watch him fight. You know what I'm saying? When he fights, I'm still gonna watch. You know, and that's for me. You know what I mean? Just because I like to see new things, I like to see people go out there and try new things, implement new things. I'm a fan. It is what it is. But you got to get them numbers up on the wins, though, little bro.
Thing's got to fight Cheeto again. That'll be a fun fight.
That'll be fun, yeah.
But Cheeto's got a big fight.
That's the thing. Most of the fights that he's in are fun fights.
Yeah.
Unless he pokes the guy in the eye. gets a little awkward there.
Yeah. But those eye pokes aren't always fun. All right, there it is. Episode 107 of the Schmo Zone podcast. We are out.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.